bak ilerledi. Sana bir eğri bak dedim indi ki. Al goriz al goriz misin bir robotu. 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 One of the things that the phobia accompanies a lot of the shifting of the Earth planet will cause an increase in flu or flu-like symptoms. As I'm calling the West Coast the other day, and there's been quite a plague there. Many people here also do flu or other types of symptoms like that. The reading from Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 16, Text 24. Jaya and Vijaya cursed by the sages. I just want to mention one other thing before I start. The devotees who are addressing Srila Prabhupada, we have to either make the dresses a little different, a little larger, or we have to be more clever how to dress. Prabhupada's top piece normally goes under like this, or we have in the front. But normally he would wear it under. I see the devotees just put it, I'm just wrapping it around. It should go under his arm. Naturally. Who dressed Prabhupada this morning? Who dressed? Yeah. So it should go. Everyone's doing the same thing. It should go under like this. Like not even wear it. You see pictures of it. Like but now we're just taking it, we're just going to wrap it around. The guru was asked, is in the murti, so we want to honor him in that way. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tate nabhishtisha sattva nihevitsito Shemam jananiya saktivir ujratare Natavatre arifate batavishvabhatu Jeja sattam ta'anastasya sati vindaha. Translation. Dear Lord, you never want the auspicious path to be destroyed, for you are the reservoir of all goodness. Just to benefit people in general, you destroy the evil element by your mighty potency. You are the proprietor of the three creations and the maintainer of the entire universe. Therefore, your potency is not reduced by your submissive behavior. Rather, by submission, you exhibit your transcendental pastimes. Repeat after me. Dear Lord, you never want the auspicious path to be destroyed, for you are the reservoir of all goodness. Just to benefit people in general, you destroy the evil element by your mighty potency. You are the proprietor of the three creations and the maintainer of the entire universe. Therefore, your potency is not reduced by your submissive behavior. Rather, by submission, you exhibit your transcendental pastime. Lord Krishna was never reduced in his position by becoming a karmic guru, or by offering respect to Sudama Brahmana, or his other devotees, like Nanda Maharaj, Vasudev, Maharaj Yudhisthira, and the Pandavas, Mother Kunti. Everyone knew He had the supreme personality of God, yet Krishna. Yet his behavior was exemplary. Supreme personality of God is Sachi Ananda Vigraha. His form is completely spiritual, full of bliss and knowledge, and it is eternal. Because the living entities are his parts and parcels, especially they also belong to the same quality of eternal form as the Lord. When they come in contact with Maya, material potency, due to their forgetfulness, their existential constitution is covered. We should try to understand the appearance of Lord Krishna and the Spirit as the Kumaras pray to him. He is eternally a coward at Vrindavan. He is eternally the leader of the battle of Kurukshetra. He is eternally the opulent prince of Dwarka and the lover of the damsels of Vrindavan. All his appearances are meaningful because they show his real character to the conditioned soul who have forgotten their relationship with the Supreme Lord. He does everything for their benefit. The force exhibited in the battle of Kurukshetra by the desire of Krishna and through the agency of Arjuna was also necessary, because when people become too irreligious, force is required. Non-violence in this respect is masculine. So sometimes people wonder how we follow a book that the activities of a battle that Bhagavad Gita is giving this message to the world, and it seemingly is in an atmosphere of violence. Why are we not reading something, studying something where God is speaking from the heavenly kingdom, or God is speaking at a very fallacious environment? Why are we not adhering to something that is in a forest, on a beautiful mountain, or a yogi perhaps, a great sunny person, speaking his realizations, revelations, meditating in the cave? Why are we embracing a book where God is requiring one to engage in singing what is considered violent? First, it shows that there's a misconception of violence. It also shows spiritual life is not based on the opposite of something else, not based on the standard of the material world, not based on anybody's mind, anybody's intelligence, not based on anybody's intuition. But it is coming from God, and it is the Lord who allows us to understand what is ethics, what is morality, and what is violence. So violence, we see, is anything that interferes with our ultimate healthy position. That means violence is anything which takes away from our glorious status as pure servants of Krishna. Violence is anything that we do to ourselves, or others do to us, or we do to others, that causes us to think that God's love is not available for us, that causes us not to be godly, that causes us to get distracted by mundane material energy. That's violence. And then what we're looking at is that people are viciously violent toward themselves and toward others daily, because they're constantly doing things that is highly unhealthy for the living entity. That is suicidal to the entity, and that is homicidal to the environment. And even sometimes as devotees, if we look at our life, if we look at our week, this week, we have to examine and see how much violence do we engage in? How many times do we say things, do things? How many times do we participate in something? How many times do we experience from someone else, or do we put on another person? Violent activity. silence is those discussions that we had with someone that simply allow the individual to feel comfortable with your energy. Violence is those things that we did ourselves in the background when we were not thinking about Krishna. Violence is those things that we did that we thought that we were the controller. Violence is those things even sometimes that we thought we were the victim. Because we play God by being the controller, trying to lord over what we survey. We play God by trying to be the center of focus by being the victim. And some people who are always victims, but they never grow. So I always think if somebody is saying this to me, about me, somebody's doing this to me, and maybe in some cases that is going on. But they're so much looking for it, anticipating it, that they constantly bring it upon them. And it becomes their mantra. Somebody's not treating me right. Somebody didn't look at me right. Somebody didn't address me right. Somebody did not take care of me properly. Somebody did not consider me sufficiently. Somebody did not use me properly. Somebody used me improperly. And so therefore, one who is always feeling to be the victim does become the victim. Because violence actually brings violence. Like in these countries where there is violent overthrow. So it just makes it more likely that there will be greater overthrow in the future. But there will be other attacks. But there will be same kind of assault that one put on others will happen to oneself. And so we see that there's violence. People are killing the animals, meaning that such violence then brings about more likely for war. Because karmically, violence brings violence. We do not see the parallel between slaughtering the animals and the parallel of then war taking place and people assaulting each other. People do not see the violence of harsh words, improper considerations, kind of proprietorship, and the violence that goes on and within their family and in their community. They do not see the violence that's associated with people's certain diseases that comes along with people having improper mindset. And then the cells begin to act violently against each other. They begin to attack each other, to assault each other. So we're in a very violent world. And so our duty is not to engage what people normally consider as violence in terms of physical violence, but our duty is to attack the violence by aggression, by aggression of righteousness, of love, knowledge, devotion, of strong sentiment. So yes, we are called to war. And each day we have to look and see, what did we do on the battlefield? And did we act as cowards as much as that we hide back and let others do the battle? Like the other day, I was asking everyone to be more conscientious about their obligations, their financial obligations. And I was explaining at some point that not engaging your obligations is like asking others to do it, suggesting that somehow it's just going to happen by osmosis. Or worse, it's like saying, well, let Guru do it. And so that's being a coward. Another way of being a coward is that this week or other weeks you went out and you didn't preach to anybody. You didn't share Krishna consciousness with one person in your environment. Then you're a coward. You didn't find some way how to tactfully raise consciousness. And therefore, your consciousness did not get raised very much. Because you did not allow the Krishna conscious experience to grow within your life, to grow within in your environment. Not that we have to be fire and brimstone creatures. Not that we have to be imposing on others. Not that we have to be condescending. But we have a responsibility to try to share. Because every moment of our life, we have taken initiation, every moment no longer belongs to us. My minutes, my hours did not belong to me. Belongs to my spiritual master, belongs to the Prabhupada, belongs to Krishna. I took initiation, I no longer became
that person, Betty, David, John, Mary, no longer is that person. That person died. No longer are we that individual who basically was a coward, who was enacting, involving himself in this world and not being able to access righteousness. But someone who engaged in the mundaneness of growth balance. I took initiation. I made a proclamation to the spiritual kingdom that I am marked for coming back to the spiritual world. Therefore, my thinking was to change. Now, I give up eating, mating, sleeping, and defending. Now I eat as a way of honoring prasadam, as worship. Now I sleep as a way of preparing his body to engage in service. Now I make as a chance to bring in spiritual children. Now I defend as a way of enacting, protecting others from violence, not engaging in violence myself, but allowing the devotion to come out. We do not understand this. We will not grow in our spiritual life. We'll simply be pretenders while we are singing the Vaishnava song, while we are chanting the Vaishnava prayer, while we're even chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, or wearing the Vaishnava garb. We will see but not see. We're coming for the deity and we will see but not see. The Shamapina Pasha. So in our life we have to look. How much in my consciousness am I identifying that I am a servant of Krishna? How much am I identifying that I am I am not a physical entity who used to be such and such personality, but now I am preparing to become a resident of the spiritual kingdom. And that means I'm already taking on the uniform, the psychological, the mental uniform that is allowing that body to become spiritual. Is allowing the physical body to change into the spiritual body. We are engaged in transformation. We are undergoing the mystic science of how to change the physical body into spiritual body. We're undergoing the science of how to walk out of the physical body and to walk into the spiritual kingdom. This is not just a religion. This is not just a philosophy. This is not just a social group. So, we reflect. And last week, what efforts did we make for increasing our identity? Did we read tenaciously, deeply? Did we read something? We took it all. Here's a breath of fresh air. Here's a breath for me to connect with my real identity. We ask you to read at least an hour a day. Did you hear a tape in the spirit that here's a chance for me to connect my real identity? Did you make the offering for the Lord? Or did you engage in some deity service or some other service in the spirit that here's a chance for me to connect with my real identity? Whether you were chanting, whether you were reading, whether you're listening to tape, but if you did it in the spirit that here I'm just doing this because as I'm asked to do it mechanically, or if you do it in the spirit, or if you avoid it, that's even worse. Then you're maintaining your physical identity and not realizing that you have been put in a situation to be a different person. It takes deep reflective thinking to be able to rise above the ongoing hell and illusion of materiality. You can't just go about being normal, just worrying about money and maintenance. These things are always going to be there. You can't just go out and you have your identity and then on the weekends you have a spiritual identity. You can't just go out and just interact with people and be comfortable with interacting with people who are destined to take animal bodies in the next life. There's many people in a mode of ignorance and a little bit of passion. So if you are associating and you're not feeling a sense of alienation or feeling a sense of difference in associating with people who are preparing become animals in the next life, then you're picking up much of the animal mentality. You begin to act and think and speak in that way. But if you're associating with such people and you're realizing that you are there in disguise, that you have this physical body that you're gradually putting to destruction, That you, that means that as you take the spiritual life, you're staying deaf to the spiritual, to the physical body. Is Ranti cooking or something? Nothing. Oh, okay. So you're staying deaf. I mean, analyze this. As you chant Hare Krishna, you take Charanamrita, you see the deity, you're actually staying deaf to the physical body. You're staying deaf to this prison suit and this world that accommodates prisoners. And so gradually, you are attacking the violence that has made this produces body for your life after life, and you're preparing the subtle body to be able to make a significant shift so that you can be the spiritual body. Don't get distracted by thinking that I have to work, I have to do this, and now I have to do Krishna's thing. Make your work, make your life Krishna's thing by your consciousness. First you make it Krishna's thing by you giving some of the results of what you're doing for the devotional process. Otherwise, all the money you're making is bringing in sin. This money is sin. This money is being mainly used for drugs, for violence. The money is mainly being used for helping elites to engage in the big lie, controlling common people's minds. The money, the capital is basically full of sin. So if you're not thinking that what you're doing is for the service of Krishna, you're not using it for the service of Krishna, then you're having to deal with additional sin as you're trying to become spiritual. So therefore, every little thing becomes more difficult because as you chant the holy names and you see the deities, then right after that, then you are closing the consciousness and once again putting more sin and degradation into your life space. So don't think as ordinary beings. Don't interact in the mood of someone who just has a Krishna conscious religion as their something they do on the weekend. But figure that you are a person who is marked for the spiritual kingdom. And therefore you're constantly trying to see how you can unfold more in that spirit. Even though, or even in spite of the fact that you have all of these things to deal with your energy. Why should Krishna reach out for you if you're not reaching out? Why should Krishna be attentive to you if you're not eager to receive? Why should Krishna arrange to allow you to experience all of his love when you put up a shield of violence? By violence towards yourself, violence towards the environment. But then how much, which you've been, then how much Krishna will respond as he sees that we are desperately calling out and thinking of him each moment and identifying with him in such ways that we're already becoming that in such. So Krishna comes in every species. There's a pastime that Krishna has in every single species to somehow to enhance the entity's ability to progress. Krishna appears in every ashram. We see he appears in every varna. Sometimes he is coming as a brahmana, sometimes as a kshatriya, sometimes as vaishya, sometimes as sudra. And we say sometimes even outside of the animal, outside of the human kingdom. When Krishna was in the wrestling match, everyone saw him differently, based on their mentality. The demons, they simply saw him as cruel death. The older gopis saw him as the youngest and the most sweetest child. Saw him as Bala Krishna, the small young Krishna. The gopis, his age, saw him as the most lovable lover. Yogis saw him as the super soul, the same Krishna. But everyone saw him differently according to their own consciousness. So each person, and even each devotee, will experience Krishna differently according to our own consciousness. According to how intense our consciousness is will determine how much we experience the Krishna consciousness. And according to how much we identify with true energy, we will see ourselves to be as victims, or we'll see our life simply as a struggle just to survive. Or we will see life as nothing more than more and more interactions, frustrations, depressions, and anxieties. It's all a matter of consciousness. appreciate that Krishna himself is reaching out and coming in all different species, in all different ways, in all different yugas, to help everybody to understand him. Krishna himself is giving a different yuga dharma of everyone to be able to excel based on whatever the nonsense is going on at that particular time. And Krishna himself has gave us his nama, his guna, his lila, his rupa, given us his pastimes, his names, his forms. He's given us his scripture, he's given us his guru. For us, is our medicine. But if he's given it to us and we don't use it, then our sickness will prevail. Another mature body, another mature body. So take our life and our weeks in the consciousness that now I have another week. I have these kind of things to do based on my job, based on my family, based on my aspirations for arranging this, arranging that. But now, where is the Krishna? How much is Krishna constantly in the underlining of all of it? We make it clear by first the chanting around, the chanting around in the spirit. This is the fuel that will allow me to be able to do things as a devotee. Not that devotees don't work, not that they don't eat, sleep, make a defense, but they do it for Krishna. So this is the fuel that allows me to do that. And then as we're reading the scriptures, we realize this is the fuel that helps my mind not to go so crazy. Keeps me in certain boundaries. We hear the tapes. This is the fuel, the medicine. It helps me to be able to deal with the pain of the disease of mature body and mature mind. This way we are able to move through one thing after another with some expertise. Otherwise we'll constantly get wounded, get affected, get slowed down. And as we said many times, we get wounded again and again and again. We lose our ability even to fight. We lose our focus. We lose our chance to be one who took advantage of being enlisted into the problem, the Ra. As long as we don't take this shift in mind, every other week we'll be down in Krishna consciousness. Monday we'll feel it's okay. Next day we'll have this question. Next day we'll have this fear. Next day we'll have this reluctance. Now just go on and on and on. Just imagine a sportsman, a musician or someone who is one day feeling that they want to do this work, next day feeling they don't. What sort of performance are they going to have? One day they're practicing, they're feeling, yes, I want to be, a wonderful musician. Next week, they're doubting the whole thing is even possible. Next week, they're thinking, and procrastinating away. They'll never develop sufficient skills. Because they'll always be what's called Bogatiyaga, on and off. But someone who has decided, this is my life, this is what I want to do, they become fixed and is constantly trying to grow and to unfold. But if we're cowards, then we have that tendency. One day we're feeling like this, next day the mind becomes the king, next day the intelligence becomes the king, next day the senses become a belly, a tongue, genitals. One thing after another is becoming dominant. Everything except the soul. So then we keep bouncing back. When the mind is dominant, certain type of problem. The intelligence is dominant, certain other types of problems. The tongue is dominant, certain other types of problems. The sex organs are dominant, certain other types of problems. The passions. So there'll be different types of conflict and problems based on who is being dominant within your existence. As we offer all this to Krishna, the Guru, then the soul becomes dominant. We begin to unfold in a particular way. So these are no longer the days for this speculation. These are no longer the days for people to engage in the procrastination, because you can see that things are going very wild and they're out of control in so many different levels. And there's constant disappointment, things that we fall back onto as our crutches. One thing after another is cheating us. So we should be clear that yes, that is the material world. It is the cheaters and the cheating. It is the people chewing the chew. But we're not identifying with that stuff. We don't identify because we think differently. We genuinely think differently, then we act differently. If we act differently, then we have different consequences in our life based on that. So it doesn't matter whether you're healthy or whether you're sick. It doesn't matter whether you got money or you don't have money. It doesn't matter whether you're single or whether you got a family. Christian, looking at how you're thinking based on all that stuff. What you're claiming is yours. What you are doing that is not Krishna underlining is not the serious factor. What you're doing in terms of identifying yourself as the proprietor and the controller. What you're doing that is a constant offering of Krishna. You want to come to the point that everything is an offering. Therefore, that's Krishna consciousness. If we're not, then that means that we're a prisoner and we take another kind of body based on the kind of crime that we're still engaged in. You think out of that way, that this body in the material world is a prison. And it's a bunch of criminals who are interacting in different ways, sometimes a little worse than other times. So does one want to be a part of that environment? Or does one want to be outside of the realm of limitations and degradation? So Krishna arranges in all so many different forms to come, try to help, make a way for people. But still, most people refuse because the illusion is just that strong. Illusion is very strong when people identify with the environment. But if they avoid such thinking, it becomes easier to move outside of such. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments? I think I wanted to announce before you think of the questions. So tomorrow I'll give the class here. It'll be a little brief because then from here I'll go to Potomac. And I'll give the Sunday class at Potomac. So many of you who can come alone, then also try to come. We're going to be doing more things in this coming year, next few years at Potomac Temple. So we want to begin to have more association situations. We're going to try to put on a big group of life program in the city, connected with Potomac. One of our devotees in South Africa. So devotee organized the festival at the stadium, Nelson Mandela. So we just sent a letter yesterday for him to get his visas and things for his wife. And they're going to come and live here in the Washington area. And so we're going to put together a massive group of life program in the city. And the president of Delhi Temple, one of our grandest temples in the movement, has now come as the president now of Potomac. He's a very competent, expert devotee. And just recently they've, I think, already raised some hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're going to embark upon a new adventure. They're building a new temple and expansion in the area. So they're collecting, we've got a couple hundred thousand dollars for that already. And the idea is to see how we can create a better package to preach in this part of America. And I may formally take up the GBC position for the Washington area. Now I'm here informally in terms of the nuts and bolts and management of what happens in Washington. Mainly the Institute has been a project for outreach mainly in the city. And so we're going to see on some way how to connect. Mukunda Maharaj is the National Director of Communications. And so much of my work has always been in that field. So we're trying to see ways how we can cultivate more people in powerful positions. So we can connect with Krishna consciousness in areas that normally people are not being exposed to. So how we can package various things in such ways. So I probably won't spend much time out there studying because I'm not putting so good, but we'll be connecting more. Anutama was also there as the public relations director for America. So Potomac is actually a very powerful place, becoming more and more powerful in it, which is very good. I haven't been going out so much this last year, because when I finish the travel and come back here, there's a chance for me to do all the communication things that I would do in terms of writing letters and doing GBC things. So I didn't want to be so obliged to do something that I should become on a regular basis, because I have a chance to unfold when I come here and do the writing. I come to watch now, stop being more active in that way. Since we saw you'll be shifting to getting hungry, and as we increase the actions at the at our institute in D.C., out of Melita's house and any of the other houses, we'll also increase the action for the Washington area out of the Potomac Temple as well. And the president has asked as many of you as possible could come out to visit. We come this Sunday, so we would, you know, send a message around. We would also like to meet some of you. Very nice, hard-working devotee. Since he's come, he's increased the ability in a short time to raise another kind of funds. You see the pictures of the Delhi Temple, which is the Bangalore Temple. It's a multi-million-dollar project. It's a very grand project. We are weak in the financial area because we basically have this kind of of poverty. And so because of that, then there's always a weakness. Devotees of Giranagari called me last night, and when I was there last, I mentioned that they got to focus now more on the internal development, more on creating the social strong environment for the community, and also the fundraising. So the last meeting, so they designed some devotees to go out and experiment doing some fundraising. So they went to, a few devotees went out and did cooking. They did a couple $100. They were shocked. So we have to get off our butts and start trying things and doing things, and things will happen. In just an hour and a half, 2 hours, a couple of devotees raised a couple $100 just by, and it's spiritual because they're making the cookies at the temple, packaging them in this block in the college area, and just in the short time, just three devotees made a couple $100. So they were enthused and said, well, you have the determination and the zeal, so many things can happen. You're waiting for people to do things for you, nothing will happen. You're waiting, everything will be very slow. That's what. We have to be brainstorming. Again, warfare. We have to be engaged in strategy. And not just letting two people handle all the burdens as you've been doing. It's very simple, very sad. Is there anyone who didn't hear the tape last week? Anybody didn't hear the tape? Be sure to get the tape. Yeah. We'll be sure to get the tape. We have a whole tape yet last week on finance. It was the week before last week. That's what he said. So any questions anyone has? My leaving is a little indefinite right now. I'm hassling my visa for my Nigeria still. And I got some disappointment, temporary setback with the books. So I'm scheduled perhaps to leave at 7th or 8th. Try to go to England to maybe get my visa from there. If I can get it from here, then I can postpone it a few days. Any last feedback about the software yet? Mitchell Bender, Jamavati, and a few others, and we hope most of you can get involved. We're trying to do a big campaign for Valentine's Day, with the Spiritual Warrior 2. And so there's a couple of events happening around that time. And one of the events the devotees will be going to with the book, the Love and the Love event, and they're going to wrap the Love book and get people to buy it as a gift to someone who they have some loving affection for. We're going to be distributing some flyers around the city, advertising the book. And we have a radio program also. What day, Jamavati, is the radio show? And Valentine's Day, the 14th. It's very powerful. So we have the radio program on the 13th. And, you know, that program goes all around the city here in Washington. So we'll try to put together a package to be able to advertise and invite people to come and get the book. This is Kathy Hughes. Yeah. So we know how the impact of that show. We'll think it out a little bit. Maybe we'll have a few devotees at the studio just there with the books. We've got people to come down so many hours to get the books. And have devotees in a key place where people can come and get the book. Yes. Intensely putting energy into it, recruit some devotees to do their parts. that this book is very, very timely now for all the craziness that's going on. And, of course, we don't have sufficient copies that you haven't had a chance to read it yet yourself. Just see when most of you have a chance to read it. Right? We are going to put this kind of emphasis with this particular book. So, Ali, you can see the importance of us getting these copies out.
Yeah, the book is really taking off. It's just a few copies that we have sent out already. For example, in New York, we sent one case to Bahirat. He was calling the next day and begging for more. And hopefully we'll be able to give him more in time, because there are also three bookstores in New York that are also asking for that book.
The BTG and the BBT are now in Europe are asking. We're trying to, of course, bring some to India as well. So we just had we had 10 advanced cases. We sent those out right away. So we're trusting that the printers will be faithful to their time. But now we're finding they can't have the books ready for the port. So we're trying to see if they can just at least send us the soft covers, and then the hard covers be available after the after Valentine's Day. I'll have one or two boxes to take with me to India. I'm personally going to give a copy to all of the GVC leaders. We're discussing these issues now, and social development, like anything. And we're discussing more about the whole and the connection of love and trust. We're discussing so much more about improper sex fixations in terms of incest and child abuse and so many things. We have a huge task force all over the world now to address these kind of issues. Because the body is being sometimes too much captured by what's happening in the community. Because beginning to not do, as I mentioned in the class today, you're not thinking that you're going to start acting like materialists. Materialists are getting really funky out there with all their lust and control it. So we're thinking like them, because we're acting like, if we're not thinking different, we're going to start thinking like them also. So we're trying to see how we can. So I don't know, your request was just tell them to send a COD, or we will send them a check even before they send the books. Send it to them overnight. We want to have at least those so we can go out on the bliss. We have devotees in different key places, subways and other places, distributing flyers. And we can try to set up maybe some tables also in a few places. Find out what's going on at Kennedy Center Convention Hall. This Mr. Bennett, this love thing, where is it going to be held at?
They're doing something that I found out recently and was invited to. This is at Joe's Movement Emporium, a midnight sort of like mass kind of thing in honor of you know, people who have loving relationships, but not on so much the physical level. They're trying to keep it pretty much pure and everything. And that's going to be on the 14th, and the thing for Iron Hand, I believe, is on the 14th also. So,
some of the others of you, just look at some of the magazines, newspapers in the supermarkets and the health food places. Look on the boards, see what stuff is going on around that time. And as we network, we can try to see how to have some devotees in some of those places. If there's any kind of new age thing that's going on somewhere. So any other comments about that before we ask questions? So my plans now is to go to England, leave here as soon as I can. Based on my, if I get my visa, we're trying to go through the mayor's office to see if Jeanette can somehow assist in putting some pressure or making some requests from the mayor's office. Or we're trying to see about sending the passport maybe to New York and try from that embassy. Otherwise, I have to try some other countries, which is not so likely. Because normally they tell you you have to get your visa from your country of origin. But it becomes suspicious that you live in one place, but you're getting it from another place. So then based on that, getting that, then I can start situating how I travel. So I'll go to England, buy my tickets from there, then I'm moving around. Body's there very much ready for me to do some workshops on the book. And they're already sending some communications, trying to organize my schedule. So there's a lot of things pending right now. We have to see how to capture the moment.
Any questions, any comments about anything?
You said that there would be a temple built. Did you mean that the Potomac Temple was going to be rebuilt, or?
Yeah, Potomac Temple is going to make some expansion, and it seems I'll get clarity when I get there today. But it seems that they are going to embark upon some temple renovation or some temple expansion. But they're raising hundreds of thousands of dollars for some second phase. So we'll get a closer understanding of that.
I know the cultural center is being expanded and moved on.
A lot of expansion that they have in mind. So they're connecting with their members, life members, devotees, see how to get the assistance. Plus, when the Kunaraj came out to Giranagri, he brought most of the temple from Potomac with him some months ago. And the plan, of course, was then to see how to connect Giranagri with Potomac, bringing field trips out there, having devotees to come, and they have workshops to do some brainstorming. So we made some connections in that way. We've been wanting to pursue this for some time, and now we're trying to see how to go ahead and activate it. Any other questions? See, for years and years, they've been struggling financially, like anything, a handful of devotees. But now they got this good core of devotees. Not so many, but a good core of devotees. Because they're thinking in a very positive way. And now they've got the relationship stronger. So now it opens the door for many things to happen. But year after year, they've been just struggling, you know, with a handful of devotees and, in a rather miserable kind of situation. But now there's more focus on each devotee doing their part, getting devotion stronger, especially the teamship. So now Krishna is opening up doors. This is how the Krishna conscious miracles work. That's what. The lecture starts at 5:30.
I also want to have a really quick meeting for everybody after today's class to clarify the cooking schedule for this weekend, especially today. And so it just takes 60 seconds after the class. And also, I just wanted to mention that in keeping with the lecture, just encourage all the devotees that everybody you know who you associate with on a regular basis should have a book of some type. Guru's book, or one of Srila Prabhupada's book, but everybody you know, every family member, people you associate with at work, everybody you know, everybody you associate with on a regular basis should have a book. Because even if they just accept it gracefully, you know, say, oh, well, thank you very much, and keep it in their library, and if you don't read it right away, that's still a great spiritual boon for them. So make sure to distribute the books. We have cases of books here, all types, you know, of Srila Prabhupada's books that you can come and distribute.
That's a very good point. They try somehow to give Krishna more into the environment. Sometimes you'll be shocked to see people who will connect, you know, when you make something available to them in such ways. And it helps us to be less intimidated by being a spiritualist. You don't have to be intimidated. I mean, obviously, people have some conception about the Hare Krishna movement. And so we have to sometimes play that down. But as far as people being interested in New Age thought, alternative thought, spiritualizing, you see the workplace, there's nothing to be intimidated by. That's all over now. Thinking people have that consideration. People are not gross, they have that consideration. You know, so we don't have to be timid about people trying to understand how to deal with stress, how to, you know, be able to cope with their hard life a little better. So we can approach it in a particular way. But if we, you know, again, we don't impose, don't force yourself, but be more attentive to those who you feel, especially, you can make a deeper connection with, and then try to say a few things, and, you know, plant a few seeds, and see what happens. This way, you'll see yourself more as a spiritualist, because you'll feel more that you are, like, operating in the environment, you know, the spiritual focus, even though you got to be a little discreet in that way. And the leadership book and the books like that, they're so neutral that by giving such a thing, you're not going to incriminate yourself of being involved in some kind of cult or something weird or whatever. It's talking about some really basic, hardcore things about life. There's more people trying to explore now, so we can take advantage of that. Any other questions or comments? You got those books to the doctor the other day?
Yeah. I know I don't do this very often, but I'd really like to give appreciation to Mitravinda and to Mother Lalita for helping me with my service so much, particularly last week. Mitravinda, as soon as the books came in, we had to package them up and send them out, and she stayed up very, very late, sacrificed her beauty sleep to help fill out labels and package up the boxes. So I really appreciate that. And she also helped by typing a lot of letters when I was engaged in other services. And also to Mother Lalita, who, you know, very much on the spot, helped in terms of transportation and getting me downtown and going to pick up Bruga last week. So I just wanted to say thank you very, very much.
A lot of the work is intensifying so much.
So, Srila Krishnapada, I've recently read the book, and I was very impressed with the manner in which you summed up the total, you know, Krishna conscious philosophy in a very progressive way. And I feel that the book is a great offering from yourself to Srila Prabhupada. I'm pretty sure that Srila Prabhupada would be pleased. Already, I've discussed some of the contents of the book with, you know, just people in general. And one gentleman, he said that, he said it just shows that we live in a society where, you know, we raise our children in what he called a getting, you know, state of consciousness. Get an education, get a job, get rich, get pleasure, but never giving anything. And I was very impressed by it, with that. And the few people that I have talked to about the book and just read a few posts from it to them, they were very impressed. So I think that this is something that that will help, you know, us as individuals, and it'll have a positive collective influence on the rest of society. Thank you.
Yeah, we had, I think Jambavati mentioned last week that one publishing company we've been trying to, or advertising agency we're trying to connect with, and then we hadn't gotten a response at first, and then the boss, one person, happened to see the book and then became encouraged and asked us that we send a copy of the book when it's finished. We sent the galley. What was that that agency? New Age Review. It's a very powerful review for New Age materials. So we seem to get one connection out of it strong. Any other comments?
One of the ways that Rajalu and I have been talking about getting this book in particular out, but some of the others as well, are these little calendars, daily calendars that people have on their desk that have motivational thoughts for every day. And we thought if we can get all the devotees in the reading to start compiling quotes, that we can literally have, you know, a tear a page day with the thoughts on. And
make a calendar?
To make very well suited to doing something like that, and it'll be a good fundraiser as well. So that's we've been talking to voters about collecting quotes in their reading, but particularly from this book.
That's good. As soon as the books come, hopefully they'll be here. Maybe in a couple of days we can follow through with this. And the voters themselves should get copies so they can get a better idea of what we're actually working with. And you get some ideas as you read it up. Any last point?
What time
is
the program on
your
program?
What's the time? Yeah. We should also let the voters know that we can have some of the voters to call in. Because usually it's a call-in show. The voters can call in and do as you normally do and ask them questions that will enhance the exposure in the future. Remember, some of these programs have got the biggest impact in these radio and TV programs in nature, because there's always some people who are just waiting, and when they hear the message, they step forward. Many of you came that way also. We want to capitalize on the media stuff a little more. It's just unfortunate that it took us so long to get this out. Did you get the book out? I'm going away now for my long trip. Of course, that would have been that. I'd be here for a couple of months and go on a marathon with some media things. As we speak on the radio, TV, then we invite people to come to down to visit. Still interested to see. Is there any way, I guess, maybe that would be commercial, Dr. Ronnie, that as we do the video programs, we can do some advertising of the books?
Several programs on cable stations where they interview authors, mm-hmm. and that's a way of advertising
yes.
it without violating any of the nonprofit rules. So that would be a better way if we could videotape you talking about the book, mm-hmm. and we could run the program indefinitely from time to time.
Okay. That's right, we got that. That's good. We're not getting so many calls. The number's still appearing at each show, right? Okay. Hopefully we'll get more calls and people respond. Yes,
yeah. Got an interesting call about the
about the organization and our philosophy, et cetera, what we believe in. And I asked him, of course, how he found out about the Institute, and he said that it was from a tape that he had gotten from a friend of his from the Howard days.
Audio or video?
Audio.
Right.
So I was very impressed, by that, even, that your potency is just so, it's just timeless.
What's the media effect? If we could taste something, these things they plant seeds, just in the natural media effect. Like now, we're getting sprinkles, we're getting some orders coming in. We got an order coming in from Baker and Taylor. We never know who's getting the books. Going out there somewhere on the tapes. So we're trying to put out, what's coming on with the catalog?
Catalog should be ready.
Okay. We're going to have a new catalog. And we want you to get some copies, to get at least a few copies. So that you have all the tapes now up to date, pretty much up to date. We have quite a gamma of things now that's available. But how many tapes are we going to have on that bus? So quite over 200 tapes. And now we have a blurb for each of them. So now we have the name of the tape. We have a little write-up on each tape at the top.
That's the book.
Yeah, so it's the book now. We're getting a little more professional on certain things. That's good. It's important to people with the tape is not good. Some people they want to follow through. So we have the tapes, and I'm sending also audio tapes to West Africa and to South Africa. So
Yeah, I see. I'm scheduled to go to Delhi. And then to Calcutta by England. But we'll see. I'm just thinking that we could, it may be necessary for me to stay. Don't tell the printers this though. I have to reflect on it. But maybe if that, it may be advantageous for me to do that program, stay and do the program on the 13th, and then leave 13th or 14th. And then we really try to kind of infiltrate the city even more. Because it may be advantageous that after speaking, if I personally stay at the studio or announce that I'll be someplace for a few hours, or give signed copies, any people can come. I'm thinking about that. The Hardbound books, as it is now, they arrive on the 13th, right? Even the worst case. So that means there's also a chance that everything will be here by that time. I'm not going to plan that. I'm planning to be out of here by that time. But that's a possibility. Because Valentine's Day comes once a year, isn't it? It's on a Saturday. So we could do that or have some reception somewhere that afternoon. Say the program's in the morning, reception in the evening or the afternoon. The author will be there. We have people come in, and devotees being able to talk to them. We could build up our institute congregation. These people will come forward in this way. I'll look into it the next 2 days. It's kind of based on this visa thing. I have the visa in hand here. That I don't have to stay in England long. I just go right through England. Go straight to Calcutta and just pass over Delhi. Delhi means I go to Vrindavan, which means I miss Vrindavan this year. Which is a pretty heavy thing, but preaching, we can arrange that. Okay, so most likely I'm going to do that. Hopefully something's going to happen when I get the passport. And so we should all be trying to keep our Valentine's Day clear. Because you have to work, and mostly you have to work on that day, isn't it? Anyway, we'll find some way. It's a Saturday. Okay. We'll do some. We'll do some list of the city. We'll figure. We'll strategize the next couple of days on how we're going to do this. Set up a few tables, a few places. Have some kind of reception. Do some advertising. A couple of outlets. Yeah. I think it's healthy to try to do that. So just consider that's what we're going to do. So, you know, don't. I know you got many sweethearts to visit on Valentine's Day. But you can put them on hold. I've seen them before. You know, your mother, your father, your big sister, big brother. No. I've seen them before. Or don't be selfish with your love. Take some of it, you can expand it to reach out to other people. Any announcements? Anyone else? Okay, focus on the points I gave in the lecture, though. It's a big mental construction now that we have to be able to build up more. We have to really become more mentally focused. I may try to speak about this a little bit more Sunday also, if necessary, but we need to realize that how delicate everything is, how easy it is to get distracted if we're not properly conscientious, how easy it is to kind of, you know, lose our balance if we're not careful.
I just want to announce to everyone here,
houses to cook, show them to cook, and it's like sometimes just a couple or like that. And we haven't done that yet in terms of cost, so if I can get some ideas from people, I would appreciate that. I have to give somebody an answer on Monday on my job. We are used to people, you know, we get like 10 people, 5 people, and we work from that, you know. But now it's like going to someone's house, and the food is included, and then, you know, the actual service we do.
How long have you been doing this position?
Oh, I'm gone for, so you haven't heard the taste. I'm gone for months, 3 months. It's a long trip. I'm making 3 trips in one. I'm going to do the India trip, the West Africa trip, and the South Africa trip, one after another. Boom, boom, boom. Yes, it is. It is. They can't hear you.
And we have the whole weight of this book. And you've given us so much love.
Yes, speak loudly, can you hear me?
You've given us so much love and intimate care. And we see now more than ever it's time for us to rise up and become leaders for you, you know, no matter what our services are. So, for your Vyasa Puja this year, the Institute is going to embark on a major campaign to really unite, not just with our devotees here, but in our other projects in other states. And the details we'll give you on your offering, but basically the goals are to really strengthen our individual relationships. You said that's the foundation. So we want to, and especially now with the transition of the Institute, you know, things can be really splayed. So we want to increase communication and sense of community outside the Institute. And we're going to increase associations and accountability. We're going to be more, strive to be more accountable to each other and acting as a community. Show how when somebody doesn't do their service properly, how the whole community suffers, and to make people be accountable to the community. And then also we want to connect with our other projects and share with them what we're doing. We want to beg them for the same information so we can unite as a big family. So, and also with our devotees who are on the outskirts, we want to involve them too, but we're just going to overwhelm them. You know, you say people need to, there's things they have to go through and they may not be wanting to be a part of things, but we shouldn't let that get in the way of our love for them. So, in line with that, I wanted to ask you, in one sense, this question is premature, but the reflection on the answer would be very important for us to imbibe in our consciousness now. When you used to go away, you used to tell us that you might not come back. And because at the time you were going into heavy warfare environments, or you're going into environments where there was heavy curses on you and you had attempts on your life. So, in this late hour, we understand that it's very possible that you can be on another side of the planet when some of the changes get placed, and that's where you end up. Or we never know when Krishna's going to pull you back home. So, we need to concentrate on it, developing the internal relationship with you, and serving your instructions and your mood rather than your form. And then, if we can do that, when we do see you, we'll have that much more and we'll appreciate everything that you've given us much more. So the question is actually twofold. If you could speak on the development of our internal relationship, and of course you've given us the 4 techniques a couple minutes ago, and you've talked so much lately about putting our heart in our chanting, and then especially these two classes in the last 2 weeks. If we're not applying that to our everyday lives, then the answer to this question is irrelevant. We can't even approach that platform. So if you could speak on both developing the internal relationship with Guru, and also based on some of your experiences, and also Srila Prabhupada's, if we didn't have your association, how we can best work together and avoid some of the pitfalls when Guru is not there physically.
These are very significant points. So he's saying, so in the past we mentioned sometimes we may leave, we may not come back. In war zones, we see what happened just recently. We sent devotees to West Africa. Kavi Chandra Swami, he became deathly ill, you know, by malaria. But in fact, we were praying for him all over the world because he went into coma for 3 days. He had such bad malaria. A month before him, Guru Grahi Swami, also deathly ill from malaria. And because we were discussing many years ago how we go into these environments, there's curses, there's a lot of complexities. And so it's not always that guru is going to come back physically. It may not. And the way things are happening now, you don't know where spiritual master may be when you have to be confronted with some serious crisis. Now that we're preparing you for earth changes, or we're preparing you for this thing or this falling of civilization, that the guru is necessarily going to physically be there. It may not. Maybe another part of the world may not even be on the planet. So his point is, then how do we go beyond just relating to the spiritual master's physical presence? Some of you come when I'm physically here, when I'm not here, you don't come. Or you don't check in with each other if I'm not here. How do you get away from that kind of thing? For years I was trying to help my devotees in West Africa, that I understand that also, but most didn't, so most have trouble now. So you got to realize that it's not going to be, that guru is always going to be around. That there'll be times when it's less and less available. We saw that with Srila Prabhupada. We thought that it's always going to be around. So first, we're with him, you know, devotees are with him on a monthly basis, weekly basis, and then after a while, see him once a year, and after a while, it was less and less. And then at some point, didn't see him physically at all. And so most of the devotees had so much trouble. But the movement has some weaknesses now, because so many people did not develop that internal connection. They did not develop it strong enough, and so therefore they have to speculate. They do things based on their own intelligence. They do things based on the moment, and it's not giving the proper guidance and the potency. So some ways to do that, with those other things I've just recently given you, there's three things you can also do. One, get in the habit of writing a letter, keep a diary or so, and write a letter to Guru on a regular basis. It's, you know, according to what things you feel comfortable with. And this way, you're writing and you're remembering and you're thinking about every day and you're being accountable to spiritual master on what's happening in your life. The other thing is that get more in the habit of when you wake up in the morning or when you come back in the evening or during the day, that sometimes you go before the photograph of the spiritual master and you talk to the spiritual master. Let him know what's happening in your life, what you're doing, what you're not doing, what's going on, where the weaknesses are, what areas you need to be helped. You thank him for giving you some insight in this and that. You get in the habit of doing like that. And third, as we say all the time, that the things you do, you constantly think, Guru is physically here, or Guru is watching, or Guru is being aware of this. Krishna is telling Guru this. How would spiritual master be pleased about what I'm saying, what I'm doing, what I'm thinking? So you think these things will help you to develop more of the internal connection with your spiritual master. I don't want to boast it, but I wasn't bewildered when Prabhupada left the planet. Because I had already developed this. My relationship was more of an internal than external. Although I counted, I guess, I would pop out about 30 times. That wasn't much. 10 major times. But I was writing a diary on a regular basis. Got books and books where I've written a diary where I'm thinking of the guru and making myself accountable. And then thinking, what would Prabhupada want me to do in this situation or that situation? But in so many cases where that wasn't there, one begins to deviate, become confused. Each year, my relationship with Prabhupada gets stronger, even though I'm physically with him. Every year, it gets a little stronger because of the internal connection. So if you don't learn how to do that internal, make the internal connection, you're going to fall on your face even more than you're already doing. Already too many times, you get too bewildered about this, about that. You don't relate to each other properly. You don't carry out your duties. You do it whimsically. You do things. The guru has to chastise you about it because you're not thinking, what would the guru want me to do? There's no promising that anybody's going to stay in their physical body forever. Everyone's got to leave the physical body. So, but even if not, if it doesn't happen soon or in the near future, we should realize that we're being given the instruction about how to develop the spiritual consciousness, mental reflection. See, you can, in one sense, it's a deficit or it's a downside, have to be around the spiritual master's body so much. Because then you begin to feel great emptiness when he's not there. It's like my devotees in Ghana, they have less trouble with my physical absence than the devotees in Nigeria. Because in Nigeria, I was more physically there. So now that I'm not there as much, they have more trouble trying to cooperate and trying to focus and deal. Because I was usually more there than I was in Ghana. But they have less trouble in balancing the fact that I'm not there and such. So you have to, you know, appreciate when I am here, of course, take advantage. It's a special type of rock, but when I'm not, then it should be a more intensified situation of trying to think, what did Guru want to say? What did he want? What did he ask for? And they were able to carry it through. So I'm glad to hear that during the Vyasa Puja this year, there's some desire for devotees to strengthen their bonds with each other and to be more accountable and to check in more with each other and to see how to expand the mission. So, you know, that's encouraging. But, you know, make it happen. You know, don't make it a theoretical thing. Talk about it, but actually carry it out. You need an action day. We have to do what's necessary. We miss a wonderful chance. ISKCON founder chart, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada ki.
Jai. Jai. Jai.